Good morning. Is this on? Yeah. Welcome to Liminal Church of Ventura. This is our contemplative Sunday, the last Sunday of every month. We have a little bit different of a rhythm that we follow, and today's the day that you happen to be here for that rhythm. So for today's contemplative service, again, we're going to slow down, pause, and really sit with some stuff going on in the world, sit with spirit, open ourselves open to God, and I forgot that today was Communion Sunday, and I'm really excited that it is, because I think it fits perfect with what we're doing. So today is going to be about lament. Spending some time just pausing. There's a lot going on in our world. There's been a lot going on in our world. And I don't know about y'all, but James and I were just talking, and it's not like we're necessarily trying to ignore it all, but just trying to figure out how do I keep on going through my day with all this constant news of more death and destruction and division, and it can feel overwhelming. I don't know about you guys, but some days I'm ready to get off this ride, you know what I mean? So it's with that in mind that we're going to have a little ceremony of lament today. And before we start, I just want you to know that everything that we're going to participate in today, I'm thankful to my teachers and the School of Still Point, the Art of Spiritual Direction. These are things that I've been participating in with my colleagues and my teachers, and I just think it's in my nature to want to bring it home to my family here with you guys. And so this is all inspired, written by my teachers and my colleagues. So with that, I'm going to start us with a poem, and then we'll go into some silence, some centering prayer. I'll lead us in that, and then I'll give you some instructions to what to do with those papers that you got. Hopefully you all have them. So I'd invite you now to just get as comfortable as possible, with the reminder that you don't get so comfortable that you fall asleep, unless maybe that's what you really need. But if you could just have your back straight in a way that is efficient for breathing, if it causes pain or discomfort, please don't do that. Let's just follow the breath for a moment. And by follow the breath, like literally we're saying, is place your attention, your focus of attention on your breath. And for some of us, maybe it's that really kind of tangible space right here where you breathe in and you can feel it. Hi, James. You just want to focus on the breath and follow it, and keep your attention on your breath. Love to expand some of your minds with what prayer is. Maybe it is just stopping, getting quiet, and focusing on our breath, on Ruach, the breath of life. Prayer is just being still. So I offer this poem to us for our beginning. In a time of hate, love is an act of resistance. In a time of fear, faith is an act of resistance. In a time of misinformation, education is an act of resistance. In a time of poor leadership, community is an act of resistance. In a time like this, joy is an act of resistance. resist, resist, resist. Last time I did Contemplative Sunday with y'all, we did an introduction into centering prayer. And so for just a few minutes here, we're going to spend some time centering prayer. And this might be a reminder, or maybe a first time you're hearing this, but in centering prayer, our goal is to meet with God, to connect with God, with the divine, in silence. And in particular, knowing that silence is a way of submitting, of consenting to God's presence. Silence is consenting to God's presence. And in centering prayer, we recognize that the mind wants to wander all the time. It's what it's designed to do. It wants to plan. It wants to do things. It wants to go places. It wants to fix things. But in centering prayer, if our goal is to remain silent, then we pick a word, a special word, and it's a word that when you notice that your mind is starting to wander, you can just throw out your special word in your mind, a holy word, if you will. And that word, again, in and of itself is just a word, but for you, it will symbolize the consent to go back to silence, the consenting of God's presence. And so we'll spend a few minutes in silence. If you don't have a special word, some words that people use are things like Yahweh, or God, Spirit, Ruach, Home, Amen, Love. Any of these words can get us back to silence. Feel free to join along in the chant as we go silent if you'd like to. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Notice your mind has wandered, just speak your word in your mind and come back to silence, come back to the breath. Silence is consenting to God's presence.
still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am.
This state of stillness and open receptivity, I'd encourage you to just take note of what that feels like in your body, like literally feels like the felt sensation of what it feels like to be open. Or maybe you notice resistance. Take note of that as well. Prayer is so much more than just words or a formula, and so often it's a posture. It's my hope that in this state, in this posture of receptivity, that you would receive this little story I want to read you. This is a reflection written by Carrie Newcomer, who was the former director of ours. It's an excerpt from something that she wrote called In the Eye of the Storm. I just want to note that she wrote this in October 2024, just after Hurricane, is it pronounced Helene? So this was written right after Hurricane Helene, just before November, just before the election. And there's a lot going on at that time, if you can remember. It might be hard to remember because there's a lot going on right now. Since this was written, we've had the election. We've had more division, more divisiveness. We've had more destruction. We've had the fires. And the truth of it resonates. So I offer this to you from Carrie Newcomer. I read how birds that find themselves in the paths of storms may instinctively fly toward the eye because it provides a temporary safe zone with relatively calm weather. They may have to continue to fly in that calm zone because the wall of the eye becomes too strong to pass through. When the hurricane begins to dissipate, the birds find their way out of the storm, sometimes far from their original habitats. A seabird might find itself far inland looking for shelter and food in unfamiliar places. A bird caught in mid-migration would need to somehow find the elusive ley lines that draw them to their winter homes. I found myself moved by the courage of all those small birds, continuing to fly for hours and hours during Hurricane Helene, not knowing exactly where they were going, how long it would take to get there and what they would find on the other side of the storm. I imagined it would create a temporary community of very different kinds of birds, ones that would not usually fly or migrate in the same groups. But together, in the eye of the storm, they might call to one another. They might find some semblance of formation as a way to draft or spell one another when tired. Like so many of us, I've been heartbroken reading and hearing about the devastating effects of Helene. The images coming out of Florida, Georgia, South and North Carolina have been heartbreaking, just like the ones in Pasadena and Altadena, Pacific Palisades. The range of the devastation is so large that the incredible numbers of people have either been directly or someone they know and love has been directly impacted in soul-shaking ways. Like all the displaced birds, they live for a bewildering time in a state of unknowing, having passed through the worst of the storm, only to find themselves in a town or on a mountain or a beach or woods or lake or a river that they do not recognize. And yet there is a comfort in the kind of care we give one another when troubles come. These are the times when those who are doing a little better give help to those who are more in need. We put blankets around one another's shoulders when the storm has passed and the birds are looking for their way home. All of this environmental devastation is also happening in the midst of a divisive and increasingly ugly political season. It feels like another kind of storm roaring through our country. The flames of fear and anxiety are being fanned by misinformation and lies, sweeping like a hurricane and damaging the infrastructure and fabric of our communities. I believe in the strength of our democratic system, but I also sense that the social upheaval and political hurricane of these uncertain times will leave its mark. And like the aftermath of Helene, it will take a long time to repair and reweave all the connecting threads that have been weakened or broken. Like the birds at the eye of the storm, we are calling to one another. We are flying in sometimes unusual flocks. We are doing what we can and supporting and spelling one another when we are tired. We don't know what it's going to look like when the storm of the first Tuesday in November has passed, but I sense it will look unfamiliar for quite some time. Keep breathing. Keep leaning into what sustains us in beautiful and true ways. Send help in all the ways you can. Send love, because it matters. There are a lot of things that feel so out of our control, so out of my control. And there are issues and things happening to people who didn't ask for these things to be happening to them in our country today. And there are things happening in the environment that I just don't know what to do with. And that can feel overwhelming, which can feel frustrating, which can turn to anger or bitterness or apathy, or just fill in the blank. And so I thought today would be a good time to name those laments, those things in our soul that are burning. And I have a little ceremony for us. And so what I'd like you to do, with the slip of paper you should have, and if you don't, raise your hand and I'll bring you one, or my wife will. Cool. If you can write down something that you are lamenting in the world, in our country, I offer you to write it down on this piece of paper, and what we're going to do with that is we're going to place it here in the water, and water is a symbol that is used so often, not only in our texts, but in so many of the esoteric and ancient religions of our earth, water has been a purifier, a cleanser. And in particular in scripture, not only is water something that does have this ritualistic cleansing, the idea of baptism, but even Jesus himself refers to himself as the living water, right? The well that doesn't run dry. Water cleanses. And it's the same property of our tears and our laments are usually associated with some form of tear. And so I'd ask you to write those down now. And when you're ready, you can come up and we're going to drop this into the water. And I would encourage you, if you feel so comfortable doing so, when you bring it up, I'd encourage you to name it out loud. So I'm hurting for a lot of the migrant families in our country that are living in fear. Come on up. Feel free to name it out loud if you want, or just drop it in. Systems of injustice.
My sister's dementia. Our nation crumbling from the inside.
Thank you. Loss of hope.
Confusion and uncertainty.
Confusion and uncertainty.
Health of our children.
Health of our children.
Disconnection from all that has been lost.
From the dehumanization of marginalized communities.
Fear of persecution.
Brokenness and turmoil in the world.
Deportations and attack against education.
Yeah.
Conchito in chief.
Unjust treatment of immigrants, foreign students, protesters, foreign residents, world citizens, and broken relationships due to politics.
I'm one who would want to skip right next to the next part, but I think we should linger here for a little bit. honor everything that was said. We honor everything that wasn't said. The collective pains in this room, concerns and fears, the loss of hope. God of the water, creator of all things, I wish it was this easy. And yet we offer these things up to you knowing that we can't hold them on our own. And we ask that the purifying properties of water, the cleaning properties, the refreshing properties of water, they would manifest in our world in the name of Jesus. And need another one because there's another round. You got some more? Here, I'll get this side, sweetheart. Here we go. Thanks. The author of that little excerpt that I read, Carrie Newcomer, also wrote a prayer that accompanies it. And I'm going to do my best to read it to you guys, but man, it tugs on my heart. But as I read this to you, I would like to ask you to be curious about where hope may be for you. Or maybe you're just hopeful that hope is tangible and it's somewhere in the room with you. Maybe that's it. But let me read this prayer. It's called Send Love, It Matters. Nope, wrong ones. Somewhere, someone needs help. Send love. It matters. If you can't get there yourself, then take a deep breath. Breathe in the weight of their troubles. Breathe out and send all those burdens into the light where sorrows can be held with the most tender and infinite grace. Breathe in what you can do. Breathe out what you can't change. Spool out a thread of connection. Send courage and calm. For the nights can be long and filled with shadows, and sometimes terrible, unexpected waters will rise. Somewhere, someone needs help. Send love. It matters. On this piece of paper, I'd like for you to write something that you are hopeful for. And we're going to offer that up to the water as well. Sorry. Thanks. Maybe it's a stretch. Maybe it's something that you want to hope for. let's be honest, maybe you don't have a whole lot of hope or you're not very hopeful about something, but what's a wish? What's a desire? What's a longing of your heart for our world, for our community, our future? All the division going on, my hope is in this idealistic state of unity in shalom. My hope is in that prayer that Jesus says, man, shortly before he's going to get crucified, Father, may they be one as I am in you and you are in me. May they be in us so that the world may believe. So my ideals are getting stretched a lot these last few years. Yet I still have hope for unity in the Spirit. I still have hope that we can all see the Christ in one another. Feel free to bring these on up as well. Your hopes, your prayers. Let's name them as well. Bless you. Done with great love, friend. Hopeful for this moment of clarity and grace. And cease fires. Thank you.
The essence of my freedom choice. Salvation.
Salvation. Join you, sister.
It's hard to be transformed by love.
Yeah. Come on. That our hearts would be transformed by love.
Kapwa is a Philippine concept of shared identity and togetherness that stretches beyond empathy.
For my children, world changers, perspective shifters, and that they are loved well.
For those that are longing to be loved and to know that they are.
Amen. Kindness. Well, this water, at least symbolically, is holding our tears, our pains, our concerns, our anger, our bitterness. And this water also contains tears of joy and our hopes, hopes for kindness, hopes for Trinity to awaken, hopes for love to awaken in the heart, hopes for our future, hopes for our children, hopes for empathy, hopes for our world. Don't let it slip you that this, I was going to say bucket, but this bowl contains all of it. I wasn't going to bring it up, but I'm reminded of the Khalil Gibran poem about suffering and joy. And if we look close at the bucket that holds our suffering, it's the same one that holds our joy. And our capacity for great suffering is because we have capacity for great joy. But the symbolism here of getting it into the water and offering it to the water, offering it to our Creator, is that we're not alone. We can't do it alone. So I'm going to pause this for a second. There's one more thing we're going to do with this, if y'all will grant me that. But right now we're going to move to the table. And I offer you to, or encourage you to come knowing that your cup that holds all your brokenness is the same cup that receives the joy, the love, and the peace, the forgiveness of our Creator. And so when Jesus was here on earth with us, he participated in Passover, this symbol, this ritual that has so much deep meaning. But with some rituals, you do them enough, they can kind of begin to lose their meaning. And Jesus reminded them that in this ritual, that the bread and the wine was going to take on a new meaning and a new covenant, a new promise, a new interaction, a new participatory relationship with the divine, one that didn't have to happen through rules and regulations and church speed bumps and hoops to jump through, but that we have direct access to the Trinity, to forgiveness, through the life, the teachings, the death and resurrections of Jesus. And so he took the bread during the Passover ceremony and said that this is the bread, this is his body, that it's broken for all of us. And that when we participate it, we're to remember that sacrifice. And not just remember it, but it's supposed to take life and take root and take action in us, and that we too would be people of resurrection, that we would be people of forgiveness, that we would be people who would be willing to allow our bodies to be broken. And he took the cup with the wine, and he blessed God for it and thanked God for it, and said, "This is the blood of the new covenant that was spilled for us." But I want you guys to know that there's joy in that, that the blood that was spilled, it doesn't have to be about this guilty thing that he did this for you and you have to... This was an act of love. This was an act of grace. There's no angry God up there waiting to throw a pitchfork at any of us. And so it's participation in the way that the story goes, which, man, I'll remind us, Paul reminds us that Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but that he lowered himself and became a servant to all. And that's what he's asking us to participate in. So as you feel so led, please come on up and grab some gluten-free bread. Yes? No? I think so. Bread, and we have some gluten-free options. And the grape juice. You can take it right there. You can take it at your seat. I'll grab mine here in a couple minutes, and we'll kind of end that portion. And I have one more thing with the water for us, if you're willing. But for now, let's prayerfully go into communion. On that note, let me pray really quick. Creator God, maker of the sun and moon and stars and earth and water and fire and waves and flowers and us, would you realign us? Would you recalibrate us back to what it means to be human? The way that Jesus was? God, I pray that your resurrection and forgiveness would increase and grow inside each of us, so that we would walk around knowing that we are children of the light, knowing that we bring that light with us into situations of darkness, into situations of divisiveness. May that knowledge increase in all of us, that we carry that same light. Thank you, divine God, that you invite us to participate with you. Inspire us to be representatives of restoration, to be ambassadors of hope, of change, of kindness. May we be quick to forgive, quick to let go of our resentments. May we be quick to love, quick to empathize. Rid us of our callousness, rid us of our apathy, rid us of our impatience. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for life, for the breath of life. Expand in us, Jesus. Expand in us, Christ. Amen. Come on up. Creator God, I'm thankful for communion. I'm thankful that at the heart of the universe, this mystery of unity with you, with Trinity, that the heart of all of creation is participation, is relationship. Of course, we would have a ceremony around the cup and around the bread and around the table. May we have unity in our communities. Well, I want to read that opening poem to you again, Resist, as well as Send Love, It Matters. And then, if you'd like to stick around for the very last part, we're going to walk outside, whichever door is best. I'm sure someone will let us know. And got a couple cups here, and I'd like to take the water out. And for those that would want to, grab a cup and dip into the bucket or the bowl. And we're going to put some of the water into the land. And just recognizing that the land is also a participant and everything that's going on. Y'all know that from our Shalom series, that we have relationship with the land as well. So let me read that first poem and then. In a time of hate, love is an act of resistance. In a time of fear, faith is an act of resistance. In a time of misinformation, education is an act of resistance. In a time of poor leadership, community is an act of resistance. In a time like this, joy is an act of resistance. Resist, resist, resist. Somewhere someone needs help. Send love. It matters. If you can't get there yourself, then take a deep breath. Breathe in the weight of their troubles. Breathe out and send all those burdens into the light where sorrows can be held with the most tender and infinite grace. Breathe in what you can do. Breathe out what you can't change. Spool out a thread of connection. Send courage and calm, for the nights can be long and filled with shadows, and sometimes terrible, unexpected waters will rise. Somewhere, someone needs help. Send love. It matters. Someone that would be willing to carry this outside. George? Thanks, dude. So if you'd like to come out, pour some water onto the ground. I'm going to pray one more time. If that's not for you, I get it. And this is an awkward end of the service then. And so you can linger in here, be kind of reverent and silent. If you want to take it outside, that's fine as well. But we're going to go out this back door and send our tears of joy and pain and sorrow to the earth.
Head for the hills is another.
head for the hills is another option.